It's got enough of ugly. It's good to see y'all this evening. It's always good to be at Piney Grove Church. It's as good a home away from home as anybody could have. I was coming to expecting to hear Elder Blair preach for about 2 hours tonight. We live in a time where there's a lot of troubles, a lot of things to be concerned about, a lot of things that would discourage us, but there are some things that even in the midst of these trials that affords us great peace. The Apostle Paul writes in the Philippian epistle, chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6, he tells us to be careful for nothing. That's a way of saying, don't waste your time worrying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And then he says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now that's gospel poetry, which means I can't explain it. It's so magnificent that I just can't tell you how it is, but I know what it is. Do you know why I believe certain things that I cannot explain? You know, there was a woman who came to Jesus. She was weeping. She was so burdened with her sins. She was grieving. Tears flowing profusely. She had no place to go. But something in her communicated that this man, Jesus, somehow had an answer. And when she went to Jesus, she began to bathe his feet with her tears. Now, that woman was broken. She was greatly disturbed by sin, her sin. She was grieving because of her sin. And it was obvious that there was no relief anywhere for her and her troubled mind. If you'd ask this woman, why are you going to Jesus? I'm quite certain that she would have probably said something, well, I've just got to go. There was something in her that was compelling her to go to this man Jesus. There was something that was drawing her, that was binding her, using Paul's language, that was constraining her to go. And bless her sweet and precious heart, she found peace that passeth all understanding at the feet of her Lord. Then there was the publican. He was in such a troubled state of mind that he couldn't even come near the Lord. He stood afar off. He couldn't even lift up his eyes unto heaven. The man couldn't even raise his head up. He was in such a low state of mind. He was in a miserable state. And in those days, the physical sign of that kind of misery was that he smote himself on the breast. He was in great distress. but he came to the right place. If you'd ask him, well, why did you come to Jesus? I'm sure that he would have said, I just had to go. Because there was something that was drawing him to the Prince of Peace. And when Jesus was finished with him to that day, he discovered what peace that passeth all understanding was all about. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that was troubled with that same thing. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said of himself, he said things like, that I would not, I do. Now, he wasn't just filling up the book. He was telling the truth. There were things that he knew that he should do that he didn't do. And then he also said, that I would not, I do. He did things that he knew that he should not do. And consequently, he said of himself, notice the tense of this phrase, O wretched man that I am. That's present tense. The man had been an apostle for a long time. He found himself to yet be deficient, insufficient in his service to God. So, in his distress, do you ever get in that state? You wonder, why would God care anything about me? Why would he? What is there about me that would make God love me or want me? So Paul asked this question, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Death is the result of sin. Now, not going to take all your time, Brother Greg, okay? But death means to be separated from. It's obvious that Paul went through a period of time when he was separated from his peace. It's obvious that he would have periods of time when his sinful state would rise up before him and he would see himself as a wretched, sinful human being. And he would be in a state of death separated from his peace. On one occasion, he would even ask of the Lord, remove this thorn from me. 3 times he asked him. No, I'm not going to do that. But this is what he told him. My grace is sufficient for thee. You'll make it. You'll get through these dark and doleful times, these times of misery, these times of shame, and these times of pain. Just remember my grace. Now, Paul, later in his life, he was a scarred up old man. He had been beaten and stoned and lived a hard life in the service of his God. He had literally taken up his cross and followed his Lord. So he summarizes all of this for us tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he tells Timothy, first of all, he tells Timothy, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You know, why would he tell Timothy that? Because he had already told Timothy to. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what he knew? Paul knew that a child of God has an enemy. And the devil likes to remind you that you're unworthy. and just tell you how sorry you are and what a sinner you are, and confuse you and bring you distress and pain in your heart and pain in your mind. So Paul tells Timothy, study to shew thyself approved unto God. Do you know the word of God is where we find our relief in times like that? Now, let me point out something a little on the periphery here. Actually, it's not on the periphery nowadays. What if people are led astray and don't believe everything about God as they should? Do you worry about folks like that? Thank you. I don't either. But there's a lot of people that do. You know, I've preached a number of funerals where people were worried about the souls of the person that I was preaching for. I want you to listen to this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 13. Paul says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That means if we don't believe everything the way we're supposed to, that doesn't hinder God in his greater purpose. Okay? And he can't deny himself. What does that mean? Now think about this for a moment. A number of passages, first part of Romans chapter 8 in particular. Did you know that you're not you by yourself? God the Father dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And the Son dwells within you. So if he dwells, and by the way, Jesus Christ tells us that you dwell in him as well. You're not by yourself. And so if he can't deny himself, what he's saying, he says, because you're in him and he's in you, you're not denied. Okay. Then he goes on to explain some things to us. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. People got all kinds of strange ideas about things, even today. I was reading today about a topic that's on my mind, and my goodness, people got some weird ideas about things out of the Bible. Did you know that? I know you know that. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. That means like a cancer. False doctrine eats like a cancer and will discourage people. You know how it discourages people? It'll tell them, you ain't getting to heaven if you don't do this and this and this just right. Okay? And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. You know, I try to call names like that, but Paul, he wasn't bashful at all. He called the names of folks who were preaching the false doctrine. He says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Some folks had their faith overthrown. That doesn't mean that the Lord quit loving them. Neither does it say that they quit loving God. But it means that they had doubts about a lot of things concerning God. And as a result, folks will get discouraged and cast down. And like that poor sinner woman, what's the use of going to Jesus? You know, in the modern day, I've had one young man tell me one time, every time I go down to the altar to get saved, by the time I get back to my seat, I feel like I need to go again. I said, son, we need to baptize you. Because it's not how many times you go to the altar. It's not even you going to the altar. It's that Jesus Christ, one time, offered one sacrifice forever for every child of God. Amen. He said, really? I showed him. He says, that's the best news I've ever heard. And Paul says, puts it like this. Some, their faith is overthrown. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. No matter what happens, no matter what's going on, no matter what the level of confusion is, or the pain, or the shame, or the hurt, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God in this context is what God has determined. Okay? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That means God don't compromise. You remember what God told Israel in Malachi? He says, I am God, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know what the other side of that coin says? You ought to have been consumed. Your sins ought to have resulted in you being consumed, but your God is a gracious and a merciful God, and what he has determined, he will do whether you sin and whether you repent or not. Okay. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. That means it's secure. It's absolutely secure. It cannot be changed. When God sealed his decree, there's nothing that could change this decree. In the beginning of time, God made choice of a great multitude of people. And that multitude of people was sealed as his very own. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their what? And that declaration in Matthew 1 and 21 does not include an if they did anything. Right. Nevertheless, the foundation of God said, and sure have this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. That word knoweth doesn't mean just simply cognizant of. It means he knows them in a loving way. He chose to love them. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and be blamed before him in what? Love. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's present tense. Are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what we ought to do. That's not a requisite. We ought to do that. There's a penalty in this life if we don't. But we ought to depart from iniquity. To show why. Jesus Christ says now, I wonder if you'd asked the sinner woman that came and bathed his feet with her tears, do you love me? His response would have been, keep my commandments. To the publican, do you love me? Keep my commandments. Well, I know good and well that Paul loved him. And he kept his commandments to the best of his ability. If we love him. Do you know, when Jesus Christ said that? That's in John chapter 14, verse number 15. He was just a few hours away from being crucified. He says, I love you. In just a few hours, I'm about to show you how much I do love you. Now, if you want to show me that you love me, you keep my commandments. But whether you do or whether you don't, your home in heaven is secure in my shed blood. I love that, don't you? That is peace that passeth all understanding. That means I can't explain it. Can you explain what quality Lot had that would save him to heaven? He didn't have any. The only quality was that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have something to rejoice about, don't we? We have something to sing about. We have something to shout about. We have something to stand up and declare from the highest hills. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said about it. And one of these days, by the grace and mercy of God, I'll see him with my own eyes. And I'm not going to walk right up to him and tell him what I've done for him either.